crucial moment in American history. Lyndon Johnson is re-elected to the presidency by a landslide. The New York World's Fair introduces a bright new future. And after five scintillating years on the air,
Pistol!
The Rocky and Bullwinkle Show is abruptly canceled.
Canceled?
Sorry about that, boys. A lot has changed in 35 years. Velcro has replaced the zipper. Sneakers have lights on them. The Cold War is over. And the Rocky and Bullwinkle Show is still canceled. Frostbite Falls, Minnesota. Once the beloved home of Rocky and Bullwinkle had been a thriving cartoon town. Now it was crippled by years of reruns. The beautiful Frostbite Falls forest, decimated. The once majestic falls above Veronica Lake, devastated. While the narrator, that's me, down on his luck and out of a job, was forced to move in with his mother, where he was reduced to narrating the events of his own life. With a speed and dexterity astonishing in a woman of her advancing years, Mother bates the chicken, tosses the salad, and mashes the potatoes.
Oh, Sonny Shadow!
Ow! And in a little house at the top of the stump forest, Rocky and Bullwinkle themselves were forced to subsist on ever-diminishing residual checks from reruns of their old show. World-famous television stars whose adventures once took them all over the globe, now their exploits were just a memory. Yes, it was a melancholy time indeed. Rocky the Flying Squirrel hadn't flown in years.
What's the point? I guess the world just doesn't need us anymore, Bullwinkle. Say, where are you going?
All this exposition is wearing me out. I'm going for a walk in the woods.
But, Bullwinkle, there aren't any woods anymore.
Well, you don't have to tell me. I'm the chairman of the Frostbite Falls Society for Wildlife Conservation.
You mean wildlife conservation.
What did I say?
You said wildlife conversation.
Well, somebody's got to start talking about these things.
Yes, even their wordplay had become hackneyed and cheap.
No, it was always like this.
But times were just as tough halfway across the drawing in the former Soviet satellite of Pottsylvania, where Rocky and Bullwinkle's arch rivals, Boris and Natasha, and their fearless leader, were cooking up their latest scheme for taking over the world, when their plans were crushed by the fall of the Iron Curtain.
What's going on?
But while the citizens of Pottsylvania rejoiced in their newfound freedom, Fearless Leader and his cohorts went underground. Whereupon they embarked upon a terrifying plan. A plan that would take them to a strange new land where the line between cartoon and reality is so thin that it's hard to tell one from the other. A place where, with the right special effects, it might just be possible to break through to the other side. It was a beautiful and smoggy day at Pony Pictures Studio, where an ambitious junior executive named Minnie Mogul was busy searching for a hot new script.
Too intelligent. Too intelligent.
Hello, Minnie.
Holy mackerel, who are you?
Three of the most terrifying villains in the history of children's television.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
What do you want?
We were wondering, how would you like to produce the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie?
I'd love to. I love it. What is it?
It's classic American cartoon from early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Minnie, we're stuck in reruns. You're looking for a project. Maybe we can help each other out. This contract gives you all rights to the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. All you have to do is sign right here, and your first producing endeavor is as good as gold. What's the matter?
I can't sign a contract that'll help three ruthless villains take over the world. I just can't.
Why not?
My pen's out of ink.
Use mine.
Okay.
And then, through the miracle of computer-generated digital technology, Minnie reached into the television set and signed the contract. But when she tried to pull the contract out, the expensive animated characters were instantly converted into even more expensive motion picture stars.
Hey, how did that happen?
We are attached to the project.
But even though the pun was weak, the contract was ironclad. And the three villains walked out of the studio and into the real world, while Minnie marched straight into the office of Pony Pictures CEO, E.G. Biggershot. But unfortunately for her, when she pitched her project to the powerful executive, she ran into an unexpected snag.
I don't like Moose Pictures.
So while Minnie's motion picture plans were stymied, back in Frostbite Falls, Bullwinkle got a rare flash of inspiration.
It is kind of hot in here. I've been inspiring for hours.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to the White House to talk to the president about the dream.
So Rocky and Bullwinkle set off on the road to Washington.
I don't know, Bullwinkle. It looks a little jammed.
Horse feathers. How bad could it be?
Look at all the red tape.
Don't worry, little buddy. I'm sure the president will send for us after all the letters I wrote him. Why, I bet any second now. Or two. Or three. Or four.
There, the matter seemed destined to rest.
Six.
Until 6 months later in Washington, D.C., when idealistic, warm-hearted, and beautiful FBI agent Karen Sympathy was summoned to the office of hard-boiled FBI Director Cappy Von Trapment.
Agent Sympathy, given all your bungled assignments in the past, I suppose you're wondering why I picked you for this mission?
Yes, sir.
Sympathy, allow me to be frank. This job requires the ideal FBI agent. Someone tough. Someone hard-bitten. Someone emotionless. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Tough, hard-boiled, unemotional.
Good. Are you familiar with the Rocky and Bullwinkle show?
Oh! I mean, I've heard of it.
17 and a half short minutes later.
Mr. President, this is a regular network TV station.
President Sinoff, standing firmly in the middle of the road.
But look what happens when we switch to cable. For the last 6 months, a cartoon villain from the old Rocky and Bullwinkle show named Fearless Leader has been buying up every single hour of cable programming in this country, forming a single gigantic network called RBTV, or Really Bad Television.
According to our sources, 3 days from now, Fearless Leader plans to broadcast TV shows so terrible, they'll turn anyone who watches them into a mindless zombie incapable of independent thought.
Totally different than regular TV.
The RBTV broadcast starts at noon on Saturday. By 8 o'clock that night, Fearless Leader will have hypnotized enough viewers that he can go on the air and make the whole country vote for him as president.
Wow. That's no good.
No.
No, I mean, I want to be president again.
Yes.
We all know that, sir. Well, can't the Pentagon do something about this? Any recommendations? General Foods? General Store. General Admission.
Can't the FBI do anything, Cappy?
We've already sent 3 crack agents to infiltrate RBTV. They've disappeared. It's almost as if there were a mole in the White House.
That's just ridiculous.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, our only chance is to call on those 2 gallant heroes who successfully foiled Fearless Leader schemes for world conquest back when he posed a threat in the 1960s. If anyone can stop them, they can.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and Bullwinkle, sir.
Sympathy, you've got exactly 46 hours to get Rocky and Bullwinkle to New York and shut down Fearless Leader's broadcast.
Thank you, sir. I won't fail.
Just be careful. We've already lost 3 of our best agents, so good luck.
Oh, sir, just one thing. How do I get Rocky and Bullwinkle out of reruns?
I don't know. Fearless Leader and those other 2 got out somehow, didn't they? Figure it out! Sympathy, remember, we only care about results.
Within the hour, Karen was en route to Los Angeles. She was determined to give the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie the green light.
That's not the president, Bullwinkle. That's a green light from Hollywood. Those TV people must have changed their minds. Goodbye, Sonny!
I'll be back for hiatus, Ma!
Come on, Rocky!
Smoke, are you all right?
Yeah, but I think we're on the wrong show. Look how well they drew that girl.
It's you. It's really you. Rocky. And Bull. Bull. Bull.
I believe the word you're searching for is Winkle.
Bullwinkle.
Hey, what network are you from?
I'm not from any network. Agent Karen Sympathy? FBI. Listen, you guys. I've been sent here because... Somebody's coming. We gotta get out of here fast.
Quick, let's go to a commercial. What is this, PBS?
Hold it right there, lady.
Just a second. This way.
Bullwinkle, I don't think we're on television anymore.
Bullwinkle, can you rappel?
Sure! I've been repelling viewers for years!
Never mind. Get on my back. I'll carry you down.
Well, what about Rocky?
He's flying squirrel. He'll manage. Hurry up, Rocky, fly down!
Just like old times.
Oh my God, are you all right?
Rocky, you okay?
Sure, just... out of practice.
moments later.
Agent Sympathy, can I ask you something personal? Did you watch her show?
Did I watch your show? I loved your show.
You did?
Sure. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to have adventures like you guys. That's why I joined the Bureau.
Really?
But that little girl doesn't exist anymore, Rocky. They don't want her kind in the FBI.
It's something in your eye.
No, there's not.
Ow!
All right. We need to get to New York and stop Fearless Leader's broadcast within 40 hours.
Wait a minute. Why don't we take an airplane?
Because then it wouldn't be a road movie. Whee!
We don't know how, but Fearless Leader Boris and Natasha escaped from the cartoon world into the real world. So the president sent me to...
Of course! The president got my letters about the trees.
What trees?
The frostbite ball forest. I knew he would respond.
Look, we don't have time.
Oh, Winkle, this lady isn't here about the trees. She's from the FBI.
FBI? Didn't they take our show off the air?
You mean the FCC.
Didn't they like it either?
Look.
Can you believe we used to get paid for this routine?
Would you listen to me, please?
Finally, in a crisis of conscience, Karen decided to tell an untruth.
Okay, you're right. The president sent me because he wants you to head the, Committee for Animated Wildlife Preservation.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's not what you said before.
I was building up to it.
Gee, what kind of music is this?
Hip hop.
Okay, but I'd still like to know what kind of music it is.
That's funny, the radio's off.
Oh, that's just Bullwinkle. His antlers pick up everything. Bullwinkle, cover up your nose.
Oh, okay. But I was just getting jiggy with it.
They sure don't have music like that in Frostbite Falls. Agent Sympathy, have things changed a lot in the last 35 years?
Just you wait and see.
As dawn broke over the City of Angels, our valiant protagonist boldly rocketed toward the beckoning horizon of a strange new three-dimensional world and the unimaginable perils that lay on the road ahead. While on the other side of the country, at Fearless Leader's headquarters, really bad television...
My fellow Pottsylvanians, this is the quality control. It will enhance on the grain the quality of whatever you run through it. If the input show is bad enough, the quality control will exaggerate its mind-numbing properties until the audience is completely hypnotized. So bad enough. These shows had better be terrible.
Don't worry, Fearless Leader.
We are ready to test the machine. Ready to test the machine! Put on your protective glasses.
Put on protective glasses.
Badenoff, proceed with the test.
Badenoff, proceed with the test.
Sometimes it's not so easy being Fearless Leader.
Coming to your TV, brand new exiting shows of the highest bomb. So, if adventure is your best ingredient, try the action with Clever Spies Crush the Enemy on Monday. And the laughter never gets away with three funny and wacky spies and their horse, who will also be a spy.
My mole at the White House.
Moose and Squirrel!
Moose and Squirrel.
How many times in the past they stood between me and my dreams of glory. How many times have they foiled my plans with their bungling interference?
28?
Quiet, idiot! They must never reach New York alive. I want you to destroy them personally.
After 30 years of waiting, one more chance to crush Moose and Squirrel.
Oh, fearless leader, you are so good to us.
There has never been a way to actually destroy a cartoon character until now.
What about that movie Roger Rabbit?
Shut up! This is totally different!
There has never been a way to actually destroy a cartoon character until now.
This is the computer degenerating imagery.
Sure then, Sydney.
The computer degenerating imagery, or CDI as I like to call it, is totally user-friendly. Just index the binary codes of the animated image you're going to degenerate, and the CDI will dismantle the digital image on your film stock. Okay?
Bring in the test subject!
No! Oh, this is what I was afraid of. I'm in Freddy. Please don't send me there. Now I know what happened to my friend, Freddy the Ferret. And those cute little bunnies.
Okay, now all you gotta do is type in an address and send him where all worthless cyber junk ends up. The internet.
I broke my mom. You broke my nail.
So, that's all there is to it. Here's the manual, and she's all yours. I assume you're both computer literate.
We don't need computer weapon to kill Moose and Squirrel. We've been trying to kill Moose and Squirrel for 35 years.
And never even come close.
Exactly.
So, armed with the CDI and a truckload full of really silly cartoon weaponry, Boris and Natasha set off to blast Rocky and Bullwinkle from the face of the earth and immediately got stuck in traffic. While back at RBTV...
Dear Diary, soon the presidency will be mine. As for this FBI agent Karen Sympathy, I will deal with her the same way I dealt with the three agents before her. At the moment of truth, she will be flagged directly into the quality control cabinet
and turned into a headless mindless
Money. Maybe we're regular. Money.
But we travel alone.
Singing a song.
You know, I used to be just like you guys. Cheerful. Optimistic. But if there's one thing I learned in the FBI, it's that life is not a cartoon. Guess I should have figured.
But not for long.
Hey, Buck, they look kind of familiar.
Yeah, haven't we seen those two somewhere before?
What's with the cannon?
It's the traditional.
Boris Badenoff. I've seen you on TV. You're a crooked, creepy, no good rotten worm.
Oh, thank you.
You're slimy, sneaky, sleazy.
Please, you'll turn my pretty head.
You're a sadistic spy and a really, really bad person.
Stop! You're embarrassing me.
There is Boom!
Boris, darling. Maybe it's time to update our technique.
Fearless leader! We're so happy you called.
Have you liquidated Moose and Squirrel? Did you use the CDI?
Yes.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? And who else are you talking to? Are you talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here. So you must be talking to me. And you are dying! Now catch Moose and Squirrel, and next time use the CDI on them.
But Karen, we can't ride to the rescue in a stolen truck.
Yeah, why couldn't you steal something with bucket seats?
Bullwinkle!
Just kidding, Bob.
It's just not right.
It's not right? What are you talking about? They wrecked our car. They're trying to kill us.
But we're supposed to be the heroes.
Rocky, it's not 1964 anymore. You're in the real world now.
Rocky's right, Karen. And two rights don't make a wrong.
Bullwinkle, that's not what you mean.
You mean two rights do make a wrong?
No!
I always thought two rights made a U-turn.
I don't know how much more of this I can take.
Well, let's find out. Two U-turns make a circle, two circles make a figure eight, two figure eights make a butterfly.
Look, all I want from you guys are results, okay?
It was their first fight. And so, racked with internal conflicts, they made their way across the Great Divide and onto the Great Plains.
Hey, look at that, Rock. What a strange-looking town.
And while Bullwinkle pondered the modern world, several states back, Boris and Natasha were still tramping along the road.
If only we had the helicopter.
But since they were in the middle of the desert, there was obviously no chance whatsoever of finding a helicopter.
Boris! Look!
Oh, damn. Never mind.
Natasha, quick! What luck!
Great googly moogly! Holy cow, what the... Hey, listen, now, darn it! That's the third time this month, and I'm sick and tired of shopping for helicopters!
Boy, if I had a missile, I'd blow your buns right out of the sky!
Yes, Boris and Natasha were back in business, but they had no way of discovering the route our heroes had taken and... Hey! You can't do that!
Interstate 1! Just out the red base, Oklahoma, darling.
Cheaters.
Thank you.
And high above our unsuspecting heroes...
State Police?
Yes, ma'am.
This is FBI Agent Karen Sympathy.
All right, I'm sorry I yelled, but you don't understand. I can't mess up this time.
This time? Was there a last time?
Tell us about yourself, Karen.
Let's just say I've made mistakes. Look, I can't blow this one. The whole world depends on it, and I can't do it without your help.
Agent Sympathy, you can count on Bullwinkle and me. We won't let you down.
No.
Thanks, you guys. You know, I'm glad Cappy picked me for this mission. I think we're going to make a great team.
Hmm?
Oh, no.
And just as this sentimental moment had mercifully come to a close, our heroes were pulled over by two state troopers and the cameraman from the hit TV show, Made Up Stories from the Real Highway Patrol.
With your hands up, please.
It's okay, officers. I'm with the FBI.
Step out of the vehicle now.
Hey, look! Your face is all blurry.
Those yours.
This truck matches the description of a vehicle reported stolen outside Red Bank, Oklahoma, just a couple hours ago. You are under arrest for Grand Theft Auto and for impersonating FBI agent Karen Sympathy.
I am FBI agent Karen Sympathy.
Like fun you are. We both know Agent Karen Sympathy has a heavy Pennsylvania accent. We heard her on the radio.
But she really is with the FBI.
Yeah, and I'm really John Goodman. Let's get in the car.
Just 1 minute, officer. Wherever she goes, we go.
Yeah, that's right. We're a team.
Well, she's going off to the federal pen to break rocks for the next 5 years.
Okay, well, don't forget to write.
Oh, Winkle.
I guess we could always appear at your trial as animated character witnesses.
No, Rocky, Bullwinkle, it's your duty to get to New York by 8 p.m. tomorrow.
Karen, we can't leave you now.
Hey, I'm an FBI agent, remember? I'll straighten this out and catch up with you later.
But we've never been in the real world before.
Aw, you'll do great. I know it.
Hey, what about our faces?
Oh, sorry.
Wait, you can't just leave them on the side of the road like that. They don't even know where they are.
Don't worry, ma'am. They're animals. They'll forage.
Come on, Rock. Time's a-wasting. We owe it to Karen to see the president about the tree.
Tree? Bullwinkle, we have to go to New York. We don't have time to get to Washington.
This is no time to worry about getting the washing done.
Not washing done. Washington.
A ton? Well, that is a lot of laundry.
Bullwinkle, that joke just won't wash.
Well, you can't blame me for trying.
I think I'll fly ahead.
But it was just no use. Faced with the utter hopelessness of their predicament, the razor-sharp mind of Bullwinkle quickly formulated a daring plan.
Help! Help! Somebody please help! Help!
So on they walked, two lone figures making their way through a foreign and hostile live-action landscape.
I thought you said we were in Oklahoma.
Would you like to narrate this movie?
No.
And so, on they walked, two lone figures making their way through a foreign and hostile live-action landscape. They walked until their thumbs ached, but no one wanted to take a chance on the 6'7" talking moose and a flying squirrel who couldn't fly.
I could fly if I had to.
Kind of makes you feel discouraged.
Maybe we should be a little more aggressive.
This movie's getting kind of...
Don't say it.
Two-dimensional.
Yes, things were beginning to look mighty dark for our intrepid heroes.
It is getting kind of hard to see.
Bullwinkle, he means our situation.
Oh.
Wait a minute, boys. There's a couple of headlights. I think it's... Yes? Yes? It was a couple of fresh-faced college students named Martin and Lewis.
Come on, Rock. It's a convertible.
All right, buckle up now, fella.
Yeah, safety first.
So where do you boys go to school?
We're undergrads. And what's the matter you?
What's the matter you?
My old alma mater.
Bullwinkle was a big football star at What's the Matter You?
Quarterback.
I thought you looked familiar.
Where are you fellas coming from anyway?
Thank you.
We've been on the road looking for America.
We've been looking for America all day.
We just can't find it. Man, we're exhausted.
Gee, fellas, perhaps you've been looking too hard. Maybe America's all around you in 1,000 different beautiful manifestations. Wouldn't you say so, young people?
Yeah, right.
Oh. Rocky. Haven't we passed this town before?
Following ominously above them in the midwestern sky, Boris conceived a sinister plan. Flying ahead to What's the Matter You, the two villains made a sizable donation to the college in Bullwinkle's name. prompting the college president to bestow upon Bullwinkle an honorary Mooster's degree.
When Moose is at the podium for acceptance speech, I'll be on water tower with CDI.
There was only one problem. What's the matter? You had no water tower.
Can't even find water fountain.
Their entire scheme seemed to be on the verge of collapse until they hit upon an incredibly ingenious plan.
What?
Dawn broke at 6 a.m. The day of Fearless Leader's deadly broadcast had finally arrived. And there was Karen, toiling away under the watchful eyes of a tall, blonde, incredibly handsome Swedish-American prison guard named Ole. Several states away, our hitchhiking heroes were doggedly making their way to New York. But little did they know, they were driving straight into Boris Badenoff's sinister snare.
Heavens to Betsy! This car is sticking its tongue out at me!
Oh, no, it's not. It's just a fact.
A what?
A fact. Don't you guys know about faxes?
Yeah, don't you know about email?
Sure! A fax is a little red critter that steals geese and chickens. Half of them are mails, and the other half are emails.
No. It's a way of transmitting computer-generated information across great distances in the blink of an eye.
Well, it's close.
Oh, hey, it's for you.
Hokey smoke, Bullwinkle. What's the matter? You wants to give you an honorary degree.
And the ceremony is today.
Bullwinkle, we don't have time to go. We gotta get to New York.
Oh, woe with me. I must have my degree. I'll put it on the wall for everyone to see.
I guess if it's in the name of education.
Oh, it was a happy day at What's the Matter You, scene of Bullwinkle's football triumphs years ago.
Gee, it looks so different. Everything's in the same place, but
well, What's the Matter You's been a live-action university since the show went into reruns back in 64.
I thought the buildings looked a lot more realistic.
Mm-hmm. See, where you guys been all this time, huh?
Reruns.
You know that's never gonna happen to us, right? Well, anyway, there's still a lot of anti-cartoon feeling on campus these days.
Hokey smoke, Bullwinkle. It's some kind of demonstration. What are the kids protesting these days?
Is it a civil rights march?
Not really.
Is it an anti-war rally?
No, not exactly.
Tell them, fellas.
It's an anti-moose march.
Yes, it seems that a raging controversy had broken out among the students that very morning over the decision to give Bullwinkle an honorary degree.
Gee, Bullwinkle, I guess it's true. You can't go home again.
Why, Rocky, whatever do you mean? What's the matter you is home?
Oh, brother.
Look, there's the animated freak now!
My fans!
Bullwinkle, these aren't fans. This is an angry mob.
But in the face of danger, our insipid hero bravely made his way through the angry crowd.
You mean intrepid hero, don't you?
No. Hundreds of miles away in Red Bait, Oklahoma, it was time for the prisoner's daily helping of disgusting slop. But Karen's sympathy had succeeded in making Ole, the simple-minded but incredibly handsome prison guard, fall madly in love with her. Presently, Karen promised to let him take her to the movies if he would help her break out of jail.
Could we hold hands in a movie theater?
Of course we could, Ole.
But how would we eat our popcorn?
Well, we could eat our popcorn with one hand and hold hands with the other.
But what if I want a soda?
Look. I'm sure we can work this out.
Morning, students. Today, you honors one of our own.
As the students vented their collective spleen at Bullwinkle, Rocket J. Squirrel anxiously surveyed the raging crowd for signs of danger.
Which there were none.
And suddenly his sharp little eyes picked out the terrifying figure of Boris Badenoff near the top of the water tower.
Hey, that guy's not a college student.
That we present this honorary degree to Bullwinkle J. Moody.
Good morning, children. Today's lecture is about trees.
Bullwinkle, look out! It's a trap!
Rocky's voice couldn't carry over the strident shouts of the student body, so with no alternative in sight, Rocky tried one more time to summon up those faded aeronautical skills that had once made him a household name. But just then, Boris managed to turn on the CDI.
Ah-ha!
Yes, it looked like curtains for Bullwinkle!
Red Commander Fowler, press any key to continue. Which one is any key?
With a single blow, Rocky sent the CDI hurtling through the sky. Whereupon Boris single-mindedly reached out to catch the catapulted computer, forgetting as he did one vitally important piece of information.
I ain't a cartoon no more.
Darling.
Government intervention.
You
like me. You really like me.
I guess I've lost the knack. I'll never fly again.
Yeah, without trees, where would the birdies live? Forced to migrate to the cities, they would take jobs away from local pigeons.
Bullwinkle, they're listening.
Yes, Bullwinkle's speech was so inane that the students couldn't understand a word he was saying and consequently found nothing to object to. Rocky and Bullwinkle bade a fond farewell to the hallowed walls of Wasamata U.
Don't forget to write, old buddy.
Bullwinkle, who are you talking to?
I don't know, but it's like talking to a wall.
I want to thank you, fellas, for bringing unity back to this troubled campus with your ludicrous remarks.
Martin and I would like to wish you guys luck against Fearless Leader.
Yeah, I mean, we would come help you guys, but we don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, man, we're not going near him.
And until we met you guys, I mean, we almost totally lost faith in America.
Yeah, you know, and we lost faith in our car.
Yeah, I mean, I used to think our car was really cool, but now it's just always dirty.
And running low on gas.
Yeah, but since we met you guys, we love it again.
Yeah, the car is totally back here.
Yeah, so as a gesture of our appreciation, we want you guys to have it.
Yeah, so take the car.
Really?
It's yours.
Whoa!
Gee, fellas, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
You do know how to drive, right?
Please, what moves can't drive an automobile?
Oh, brother.
Never said I could drive it well.
Just as Rocky and Bullwinkle got back on the road, Boris and Natasha emerged from the student infirmary, ready for action. Meanwhile, in Cowtip, Oklahoma...
Ollie, why don't you go get the tickets and I'll park the truck?
Gosh, Karen, I've never had so much fun in my whole life.
It's like there was always a little boy trapped somewhere inside me. And now that I met you, I can finally let him out.
too far to love movie.
There you go.
Doc.
Now that's not very nice.
Shut up.
As for Rocky and Bullwinkle, they were gently motoring along an Illinois interstate.
Hey, Rock. There's that same town again. Are you sure we're going the right way?
Bullwinkle, look out! Sorry! Bullwinkle, we're not going to Chicago.
You're now.
As our heroes found themselves racing towards Chicago, little did they realize that only a few miles behind, and back in Cowtip, Oklahoma, the only person in this movie more clueless than Bullwinkle faithfully waited for Karen to get back from parking his truck. But our heroine was already passing through Indiana, where she was about to make an ominous discovery.
For watching miserable people suffer in daytime, it's the Jenny Spy Show!
Are you sorry that you called her fat?
Yes, yes.
Oh, no. Not already.
As fearlessly, this hypnotic broadcast was already underway.
You are watching premier broadcast of RPTV.
Ah, I love my RPTV.
Fearless leader, the Zombometer shows that 30% of despised, decadent Americans are already total zombies.
Good. I'll address the nation at exactly 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Back at the Red Bay prison farm, Karen's daring escape had not gone unnoticed. While on the bustling boulevards of Chicago, Illinois, Rocky and Bullwinkle were about to discover they had considerable troubles of their own.
There they are.
Hey, oh! Push them!
Well, mercy me.
Excuse us. Bullwinkle.
Mamma mia. It's Rocky and Bullwinkle.
You thought I couldn't drive.
Bullwinkle, look out!
Just steady, Pussy. It's time to say goodbye to Moose and Squirrel.
Oh, no!
Hasta la vista, baby. Oopsie, what's happening?
I think you degenerated wrong special effect.
And while Rocky and Bullwinkle were making their getaway, Morris and Natasha were still high above the Chicago streets. But with one small difference.
No helicopter.
And as luck would have it, a traveling mattress salesman just happened to be passing by below.
Mattresses for sale! How do I do it? Volume!
Now that's a sauce mattress. Oh.
Temporarily out of danger, Rocky and Bullwinkle breathed a sigh of relief. At the same time, time, Boris and Natasha were forced to rent an Econo-class Chevy Metro from the Tifo Rent-A-Car Company in order to resume the chase. This slight delay gave our heroes the opportunity to effect another beautiful, if implausibly coincidental, reunion.
We've 6 hours to get to New York.
The Big Apple!
Bullwinkle, please. RBTV is already turning people into zombies.
But Karen, why aren't you in jail?
Oh, I was pardoned.
Some kind of cleric leader.
You're under arrest. Keep your hands high above your head. Just to think, it's the opening of moose season.
The states of California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio versus Karen Sympathy, Rocket J. Squirrel, and Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Judge Cameo presiding.
Who speaks for the defense?
Bullwinkle J. Moose. Attorney at law.
Hey. The defendants are charged with grand theft auto, one count, breaking out of jail, one count, impugning the character of a prison guard, one count, reckless driving, four counts, talking to the audience, five counts, criminally bad punning, 18 counts.
And three dukes and seven earls.
Make that 19.
Hey.
Counselor, call your first witness.
Yes, Your Honor. As our first witness, the defense calls Karen Sympathy.
Oh, please, no.
Do you, Karen Sympathy, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Ha! A little late? Miss Sympathy, isn't it true that when our convertible was destroyed in Monument Valley, the first thing you did was to steal somebody else's truck?
That depends on how you legally define the word steal, because I believe
and
that...
And didn't you escape from prison by telling that poor, trusting prison guard that you would let him take you to the movies?
Well, I thought we might have time if we went to a matinee, because...
Isn't it true you never meant to see a film at all?
Yes, it's true.
And didn't you tell Rocky and me that you got out of prison because you got a pardon?
Yes, I did do that.
Isn't it true you have no respect for the law or anything else?
No, I was just trying to complete my mission. I was only supposed to care about results.
And how come Rocky and me are still cartoons and Boris and Natasha aren't?
I don't know. I didn't write the movie. I'm only one of the characters.
Your witness, Counselor.
What are the teams again?
Bullwinkle, you're supposed to be the defense attorney. You just proved we're guilty.
Yes, but now our consciences are clean. And the healing can begin.
Your Honor, it's time the court showed the world that no quarter will be given to celebrity defense.
Celebrity?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say celebrity? Where are my glasses?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's Rocky and Bullwinkle!
I love your
Honor.
I totally... And you, Mr. District Attorney, I'd like to point something out to you in the Penal Code, Section C, Paragraph 22. Celebrities are above the law. This case is dismissed.
Moments later, our heroes were back on the road with a mere 3 hours to get from Rabbit Broth, Ohio, to New York.
3 hours? If only we had an airplane.
Hokey smoke, look!
Gosh, another wild coincidence.
Afternoon, folks.
Hi! You got any planes left?
Well, let's just kind of give a look-see. I think we have one left.
They've got to be here somewhere, Boris Dunn.
Let's go, Nicholas.
Keep the change.
Oh, just going to get my stepson a new trial. Okay.
Single!
Goody, goody!
Hey, hey! Y'all can't get in there! She won't hold the weight! Never reach the end of the runway. The wings will come off. Oh, crap!
Boris pushed the little Metro for all it was worth.
We've got them, Boris. We've got them.
They've got us, Rocky. They've got us.
But at that very moment, Boris and Natasha's rental agreement suddenly expired, and they were immediately blockaded by the dedicated agents of the Jeepo Rent-A-Car Company. Boris and Natasha tried feverishly to complete the necessary paperwork.
Look!
It was too late.
Stop!
Was a close one.
Let's just hope this thing makes it all the way to New York.
Where did we go wrong, Boris? We tried to blow them up.
We tried to have them arrested.
We tried to degenerate them.
We tried to smoosh them.
Yes, and we never even came close. Boris, what are we doing, darling? We've been trying to catch Moose and Squirrel ever since we first got drawn. We tried to stab them, shoot them, smash them, smoosh them, crush them, bash them, mash them, squish them, and they don't even know our names. I'm tired of all this, Boris. I don't want to be spy no more. Let's face it, darling. We suck. We can never catch Moose and Squirrel. Boris, don't you want to have little Boris, hmm? Little Natasha. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? We could rent a cottage by Sea of Pottsylvania and teach them how to lie and cheat and be rotten. They would be worse children in the world. They would be monsters. It would be awful. We could be so happy.
Humby. Saved by Bill.
Well, better enough. Did the city eye work?
Oh, it works all right.
So Moose and Square are dead, Sam.
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Yes, fearless leader. We killed Moose and Squirrel.
Excellent! Wait there for my private jet! I want you both beside my side for the big broadcast.
Yes, darling.
Why did you tell him that?
Because, Boris, Moose and Squirrel can't reach New York by 8 p.m. in that little plane. And what if they did? So what? How can they stop us now? Practically whole country is zombified. We won, Boris. We won.
Just the way I planned it.
On their way to New York, our heroes were soon to discover that old Jeb was right.
She won't pull up! We're too heavy! Rocky, can you fly Bullwinkle down?
I don't think so, Karen. He's a huge fool.
I beg your pardon. I'm as good as a young bomb.
You weigh 400 imaginary pounds.
Yeah, but it's all muscle.
Bullwinkle, can you fly an airplane?
What moose can't fly an aeroplane?
Rocky, you'll have to fly me down.
I can't do that, Karen. I can't fly again. I've lost the knack.
Bullwinkle, take the controls.
Okay.
Listen to me, Rocky. You can do this.
I can't.
I know you can do
this. I just can't.
This is everything you've taught me since I was a little kid. All you have to do is believe in
me. Uh-oh. Karen!
I could fly. Well, see you in New York!
Hang on, Karen! Hang on! If I could just...
Rocky? You're flying! You're flying!
Yes, I am. I certainly am. Look at me. I'm flying! New York City, here we come!
How can you be so rotten?
When I stop Moose and Squirrel from saving country, I don't get around!
Squirrel with a new admiration. However, she couldn't help but wonder, were they too late? Soaring precipitously over Rockefeller Center, Karen and Rocky found the entire city of New York completely zombified.
Rocky, whatever you do, don't look at the screen.
Touching down outside RBTV, the daring duo was soon to discover that something else was terribly wrong.
Where's Bullwinkle? The speech starts any minute.
I know we shouldn't have left him. Bullwinkle and I have never been apart in 35 years.
Quick, Rock, follow me.
Oh.
fearless leader!
Go! Go!
Oh, fearless leader! We're back! You are so happy to see us.
Well, fearless leader, he did it. Boris Badenov is now official number one killer of moose and squirrel.
Excellent! My faithful minion, excellent! But these chocolate-chewing idiots!
All right, I want anyone in this room with the Castlevanian spies with your hands up now! That means you two fearless leader. Let me see your hands.
All right, Agent Sympathy. We don't want anybody to be hurt now, do we?
Whatever you're holding, drop it!
Let it.
Don't look, Rocky. It's a trick. It'll turn you into a... Rocky! Rocky?
Oh. Oopsie.
Well, Agent Sympathy, I have waited many years to face an enemy I could respect. And I'm still waiting. No, that was just a little joke. But I am afraid that you and this flying rodent have reached the end of the road.
Now get ready for a taste of Pennsylvanian hospitability.
That's ability to put you in hospital, darling.
And so Rocky and Karen's only hope in the whole wide world was Bullwinkle J. Moose. In other words, they didn't have a prayer. For Bullwinkle had managed to miss New York altogether and had flown instead to Washington, D.C.
Gee, New York sure has changed a lot since my day. They even moved the White House here. Couldn't find the bait. As long as I'm here, I might as well talk to the president about the tree. Anybody home?
With only moments left before the broadcast, Fearless Leader had released Rocky from the grip of zombification so he could share.
As for you, my friends, we have planned something quite special. We are hooking you directly into the quality control. As soon as you go live, the current will pass through your brain, and you will be turned into a headless, mindless vegetable. But don't worry, it won't hurt. At least I never heard a complaint from the other vegetables. I think you recognize your three missing colleagues from the FBI.
Sorry, Rocky, I've really done it this time.
Don't worry, Karen. You need the most faith when things look the most hopeless.
Thanks, Rocky.
And Karen, this is pretty hopeless.
Look, we don't care what you do to us. Just leave America alone.
Aha! America.
Listen, fearless leader. There's one thing this plucky squirrel has shown me. It's that you have to be who you are, no matter how much pressure there is to change.
And despite this inspiring vindication of Karen's inner child, fearless leader was unimpressed. So Karen, Rocky, and the entire nation were poised on the brink of unimaginable peril.
And there's no one, I said no one, who can stop me now!
Or in fact, was there?
So you see, Mr. President, all the trees in Frostbite Falls are gone. The birds have no place to put their things. The children have no place to build their treehouse. I built them a stump house, but they say it's just not the same. Please help when you have time.
But Moinka, the horse has swallowed the transmitter. Not again!
They certainly enjoy their TV at the White House.
Bullwinkle! Don't watch! Bullwinkle!
Not you, too.
Not a bad show, eh, Mr. President?
Yes, cheap as it may seem, and it certainly does seem cheap, Bullwinkle's head was so thick that Fearless Leader's mind-numbing programming had absolutely no effect on him whatsoever.
Come here!
At least one thing hasn't changed. TV's as good as ever.
Bullwinkle, allow me to be Frank.
Okay, Frank, allow me to be Bullwinkle.
I'm Tabby Von Trappman, FBI.
Thought you said your name was Frank.
Shut up, Bullwinkle.
Okay, Frank.
As we speak, 99% of the country is slobbering in front of the television.
What's so strange about that?
Listen to me. We haven't heard from Karen. I think she and Rocky are in terrible danger. You've got to get to New York.
I thought this was New York.
No, Bullwinkle. That's Washington out there. That's Washington!
Really? Where's that little white wig he always wears?
Oh, it's no use. Fearless Leader's speech starts in less than 2 minutes. There's no way anyone can get there in time now.
Oh, butterballs. If only there were some way of transmitting computer-generated animated characters across great distances in the blink of an eye.
Bullwinkle, that's it!
It is?
Yes! It's our only chance. We're going to email you to Karen in New York.
Okay, but don't you think she'd rather get flowers?
Just shut up and hold on.
Okay.
One... Two, three.
And squeezing into the scanner drive, Bullwinkle found himself inside the presidential computer. But back at RBTV, Fearless Leader's deadly countdown had just begun.
15, 14, 13, 12.
And that's when Bullwinkle snapped into action.
Look, Frank! Solitaire!
Sorry, Bullwinkle, we don't have time for that.
With the cool agility of a jungle cat, our heroic moose grabbed the corners of the email envelope and hung on for the ride of his life.
8, 7, 6.
Well, time stood virtually still at RBTV. Bullwinkle surfed the information superhighway on his way to save the day.
Look, I'm hanging for.
Found himself inside the RBTV computer.
Fight!
With only seconds left to spare and no idea how to get out.
Bullwinkle, hurry up. Click on something.
Minesweeper?
Three.
And using his brain, Bullwinkle activated the print icon. But was he in time?
One. Fearless Leader.
My fellow Americans, say hello to Fearless Leader. Hello? You are tired, America. You are getting very sleepy. Your mind is mush. You need help. Yes, America? You need me to run your country. You really need me. So vote for me as your leader. Vote for Fearless Leader.
We will vote for Fearless Leader.
I will vote for Fearless Leader.
Yes, America? I will bring order to the government.
this country will finally have a president who can respect.
Look, he's moving.
And no sooner had Bullwinkle emerged from the printer than his mighty antlers momentarily jammed the quality control signal, reversing the vegetation process and bringing Karen and Rocky miraculously back to life.
Yes, ever since I was a little sketch growing up in Pennsylvania, I dreamed of glory.
Bill is leaving Moses loose!
Get up! Now, where were we? Yes, I always knew I would rule the world someday. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So vote for Fearless Leader and make the little boy's dream come true.
We will vote for Fearless Leader.
Once I am elected, there will be an end to chaos. There will be discipline. Because I'm going to run this country like an entire
soon.
I guess you could call me an East Wing, but we all have our little boy rules. I'll be the president. And with a single voice, America will say...
Go on, Ralph! Wrap it all up!
Okay, Karen.
Bullwinkle, finish the speech.
Good evening, America. Bullwinkle Moose here saying, forgot my line.
Just tell him to turn off the TV and vote for whoever they want.
Turn off your TV and vote for whoever you want.
And whoever wins the election, replant the forest in Frostbite Falls.
And sure enough, all across America, RBTV viewers turned off their sets and faced the difficult question of who they actually wanted to vote for. And the moment the machine had been destroyed, the three vegetables from the FBI immediately resumed their human form.
Thanks, Agent Sympathy.
Fearless Leader's evil grasp, even the Pennsylvanian spies rejoice.
Well, we won't be needing this anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. I should email that nice Frank and thank him for his help.
Oh, no!
Were launched up into the internet, where they would be heard from no more. And so it came to pass that the election took place as planned. Yes, Rocky and Bullwinkle were stars once again, and RBTV changed its name from Really Bad Television to Rocky and Bullwinkle Television.
What's the difference?
Sir, there's one thing I still don't understand. Why did you pick me for this mission? I mean, I'm clearly not FBI material.
FBI material is what gets the job done, Miss Sympathy. If you needed an agent to work with a cartoon moose and squirrel, who would you send? Someone tough, hard-boiled, and cynical? Or one of those soft, squishy, lovey-dovey, idealistic types?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
I think.
Affirmative. Oh, by the way, good work.
Well, I really want to thank you guys for everything. And, I really... Well, I really...
I'd really like to say that I think we made a great team.
I'd really like to say that I think we made a great team.
And if it hadn't been for you, I never would have learned.
And if it hadn't been for you, I never would have learned...
that what you believe in when you're young can still be true when you grow up.
Please don't make me say that.
You gotta say it!
Who's she talking to?
You got me, Rock.
That what you believe in when you're young can still be true when you grow up. Anyway, thanks for the adventure. So long.
Where are you going?
The movies.
Of course!
The movies!
I'm late.
Oh, that's okay.
As Karen and Ole finally went to the movies. Back in Frostbite Falls, the president carried out the post-hypnotic suggestion to replant the animated trees. Mama!
Sonny boy!
Meanwhile, all was well with our heroes. Rocky was his old self again.
I'll never forget our trip to New York to visit President Washington.
And so was Bullwinkle. Yes, glad to be home in their revitalized little town, Rocky the Flying Squirrel took a well-deserved joyride through the sunny skies of Frostbite Falls.
feeling like you're out of touch, all alone and lost and drifting through the night. Just think back to younger times and you'll find the light. See the world for a while through the eyes of a child. You will see so much wonder in your day. All that you believed when you were small are still the dreams that guide us all. The mirror shows you've grown, but reflects the child in you. If you're looking out on stormy skies, an empty field, afraid to give it one more try, see yourself above the clouds, spread your wings and fly. See the world for a while through the eyes of a child.
If you just believe.